It's 2 p.m.
Am I on now?
Yeah, you're on.
Got a red light and everything. Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission meeting, September 10th, 2 p.m. We'll start with item one, call to order and a pledge of allegiance and a roll call. Would you lead us in the pledge?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And roll call, please.
Commissioner Statham.
Here.
Commissioner Flowen.
Here.
Commissioner West.
Here.
Commissioner Snyder. Is absent, and Commissioner Aldridge.
Here.
Thank you. Item two, approval of the agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
I second it.
All right. Do we need roll call vote, or can we just do a ayes? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sounds unanimous. Item three, approval of actions from the meeting of September 17th, 2024. Again, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
That was an aye.
Item four, election of officers. You want to do an introduction of any kind?
Who's our current? I know that Mr. Statham is our current chair.
Yeah, the current chair is Bob Statham. And at the time that we, it was before the vice president, I'm sorry, vice chair was Megan Close Dees.
Okay, so that was Bighorn Desert View.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd just jump right out there and make a motion to move along and have Director or Commissioner Aldridge move to chair and then perhaps Mr. Flowen or Joshua Basin for vice chair and move it along. And I think it happens in the next meeting, but we can entertain a different motion.
Right.
That was a motion.
That was a motion.
That was a formal.
If you're okay with
chopped
that,
up
maybe
motion.
You'd like to do the second.
You want to do it, Darren?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second.
Okay.
Questions, comments?
I just wanted to clarify that for Bighorn Desert View, our commissioner is just reappointed generally every year as we rotate directors to different opportunities for them to serve. So that's why ours changes and maybe why High Desert's is consistent. They like a consistent person. I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Okay, and just to clarify the motion by Commissioner West, she's motioning for Mr. Aldridge to be chair and Mr. Flowen to be vice chair. Is that correct? And then the motion was seconded by Mr. Flowen. Commissioner Flowen, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then perhaps we could do a roll call vote on this one?
Absolutely.
Commissioner Statham?
Yes.
Commissioner Flowen?
Aye.
Commissioner West?
Yes.
Commissioner Aldridge?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Yes. And so we'll plan on the next meeting
yeah,
to I think do we... that switch, and I'll go ahead and
yeah.
play out my lame duck role here.
Very good. Okay.
I think that's the way we do it, yes.
All right, item five, annual Ames Ricci Report Review, Joseph Salazar.
Good afternoon, everyone. Quick mic checks. Can you hear me? Okay. Hello, my name is Joseph Salazar. I'm a Water Resources Analyst 2 under the Water Master section of the Mojave Water Agency. This is the Ames Ritchie Annual Report Overview for fiscal year 2024 through 25. If you did not receive the report, please let us know. Let me go ahead and start sharing screens for the presentation. Now? Okay. The Mojave Water Agency.
Cool.
Testing?
Okay. Can I do that?
Mojave Water Agency's fiscal year is from July 1st to June 30th. The report's last five-year recommendation was fiscal year 2022 to 23. The timelines are by July 10th, purveyors submit their production data, then Mojave Water Agency completes the annual report by September 4th. This report was submitted to the purveyors, but after further analysis, minor revisions to a couple tables were conducted, and the recipients were notified of the alteration. We will now take a quick look at the agenda and what's to be discussed. First, we will discuss the Ames Ritchie Management Agreement. Then we will look at the production and recharge. We will see water levels and water quality data. Lastly, we'll answer questions from today's participants. We begin with discussing the purpose of the Ames Ritchie Management Agreement. It serves to regulate groundwater supplies, manage supplemental supplies for beneficial use, allocate water production, track storage and transfer rights, and it monitors water quality and water quantity in the region. Mojave Water Agency's role identified in the Ames Ritchie Management Agreement is to provide administrative support, produce annual reports, and make recommendations. Mojave Water Agency is also a state water contractor and therefore a responsible party for delivery and purchase of transferred water. So what type of information is collected? We compile information relating to water levels, recharge, hydrometeorological records, production values, and water quality measurements. These components are reported within the region and are detailed in the annual report. This serves to support sound, science-based decision-making. Looking at the history of the hydrometeorological information, we can see precipitation as inflow to the basin. The groundwater budget includes inflows and outflows. The purple line is the current average annual precipitation. The red line shows the continued departure from the average at that time frame. The average precipitation and the cumulative departure from the mean are methods to analyze and visualize how precipitation over a time compares to a long-term average. In the Ames report, it shows that the longest wet period was from 1976 to 77 to the 1982 to 83 period. And presently, aerial recharge is negligible. New in this annual report, the hydrometeorological stations. New in this report is the hydrometeorological stations map. This effort provides a better understanding of the natural recharge within the management area. The map displays a network of weather stations and stream gauges in the region. The longest period of historical values comes from the Yucca Valley Department of Forestry Station, located approximately 4 miles to the south of the Ames Ritchie Management Area. Records of precipitation began in 1958. Water levels are showing a general decline over time. Detailed hydrograph maps are provided in the report. The selected wells in the figure show correlation of basin recharge to water levels, and it is strongly correlated to their proximity to the recharge. The stiff diagram shows the groundwater chemistry and downgraded monitoring well is influenced by California State Water Project deliveries. The data continues to show about a one-year lag between infiltration in the pond and the response in the local groundwater. Check 66 is located on California Aqueduct prior to Lake Silverwood, but is also in close proximity to the Morongo Basin pipeline intake. Production is below the annual baseline allowance and continues to decline in the fiscal year 24-25. This is good news as it shows the purveyors demonstrating good stewardship and foresight. Shown on the table to the right are the production amounts. The map to the left shows these values and in the production rings, with the bigger the ring corresponding to greater pumping. No production occurred in Pioneer Town, and the greatest production occurred in proximity to the recharge basin. Artificial recharge for fiscal year 24-25 has increased. I want to recognize the positive contributions by the High Desert Water District. There were some challenges getting the entire amount pushed into the basin, and design work on the new basin is currently in progress. More information to follow. This concludes my portion of the report. I will take any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I yield to Doug Kearns.
Yes, I quickly. The report to have a conclusion or no?
Commissioner West, can you turn your microphone on? We wouldn't be able to. Commissioner West?
Oh, we're going to turn the mic on my end.
Love it. Red light. So the question was, is this just a data report this year? Or did we have a... Okay.
This is following the five-year review, which is more of an analysis. This is reporting the data largely at this time.
This is not the five-year that gives us a what we're going to do.
It is
like
not.
Like a ramp up, ramp down. Okay. Thank you so much. And I want to thank the staff at Mojave for putting together the report. It came out pretty quickly after July. I know I was one of the late data submitter. So thank you so much, and thanks for the cooperation of all the parties, because I think without everyone's cooperation and agreement, this might be a little more difficult. So
I appreciate
that
recognition. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Good report. More to come. If there's nothing else on this item, we'll move on to item six, MBPL operations update. Doug Kearns.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Start off our update with the Johnson Valley Pump Station, where we're looking to upgrade the panels at that site. These panels were built back in 1993 and installed back in 1993 when the pump station was built. So a lot of the components there are very aged and also need to be brought up to current standards to ensure the reliability of the pump station. The panels that I'm talking to are here to the right of the picture, and they house all of the electrical components for the booster pumps. So engineering went out to RFP. The bid closed yesterday. We had two proposals. Part of the scope of that RFP was we want the consultant to conduct a assessment of the existing components to see if there are any that are worth holding on to that are up to current standards, or is it going to require a full refurbishment of the panels. From that assessment, we're asking them to submit a design and then a cost analysis to go along with that design. And once we get into the construction phase of the project, we would also ask for them to assist in that whole process as well. Moving on to guardrail replacement on Highway 247. Recently, Caltrans has been doing some guardrail replacements due to a new state regulation that came out that they had to comply with. Found out that the original upgrade design that they had was in direct conflict with our pipeline over near Makiska Boulevard. This was brought to our attention from our field staff going out to mark out the USA at that site, and noticed that they were going to be pretty much right on top of us. Well, they were going to be right on top of us. But once we became aware of that, Our engineering department got with the Caltrans engineers and started to do some discussions on how they can modify the design to accommodate them being able to stay in the regulatory compliance and us being able to protect our pipeline. And we had a few different iterations of the design, a few different meetings, and we finally came up with a design that was going to meet both of the agency's needs. All of the work that took place for that project was done at nighttime, so we were having to send field staff out at night to oversee the project just to make sure that our pipeline was protected at all times. Just to give you an idea of where that work took place, here in this red circle here, this is the work site, and then there you have Makiska Boulevard there. Upstream of this site, you've got your Johnson Valley Pump Station that we were talking about earlier, and then downstream of the work site is the Lynn Road recharge, just to give you an idea. So the picture on the left, this is the old guardrail system that they had in place. The blue markings, that's the Morongo Basin Pipeline. And then these orange markings is the original upgrade layout that they had. And each one of those orange dots is where they were going to place a guardrail post. So as you can see, it wasn't going to work out too good. The picture on the right here is the ultimate design that we came up with, and which worked for both agencies. It gave them the compliance that they needed, and it also gave us around 3 feet in between us and them. That worked out pretty good. And the whole purpose of this guardrail system here is to protect our air vac valve that you can see in the distance right there. So here's some of the means and methods that they were using for the replacement. They were using this boom assembly that was attached to this rig right here to yank out the old post. They had to replace all of the old posts and put in a new style post. And then they also augered in augered the holes for the new posts. At first they wanted to do a pile drive them all in, but with as close as they were to the pipeline, we thought that it would probably do some damage to the pipe if we were the shock from that pile driving. So they opted to do the auger instead. All in all, it was a pretty nice experience getting to work with Caltrans and their contractors. Everybody worked pretty well together, and it was great that we were able to come up with a good solution to this issue. Moving on to pipeline maintenance, light maintenance. Staff's currently working on painting air vac and blow-off enclosures and the bollards that go around those. I'm sure you've seen a lot more freshly painted cans coming when you're driving down 247. And then we also were able to replace all of the bollards that were damaged that we identified. And lastly, just talk about deliveries a little bit. Joshua Basin Water District started their delivery last month on the 25th. Their current flow rate is 3.8 CFS. They got a little late start this year due to a pipeline repair that they had to make. High Desert Water District, delivery to them is ongoing, and flow at their turnout currently is 3.6 CFS. Estimated total delivery so far to them at their turnout is 2,450 acre feet of the 2,600 acre feet they've requested. And over at Ames Retchie, we've delivered 140 acre feet of the 300 acre feet they've requested. That'll do it for the update. Open any questions you have.
Thank you. Okay, questions, comments? None?
It's in plain sight from 247, so I saw this stuff when I was driving up here. First off, I was impressed with the base itself that the guardrail is seated into, a lot of concrete there, which is good. And then I also like the deflection angle if a car should strike. it's much less likely to be launched into the highway the way the old design was.
Yeah.
I also noticed that it does give good protection to that air vac thing there.
Yep.
And I also noticed, too, that you're pretty far along on reconditioning all of the other ones along the highway, too. There's still a few to go as you get towards Landers, but it's proceeding apace, I think. Thank you.
On this schedule here, is this, I always get confused. This is new, like new year or? So I think High Desert ordered like 500 last year and now they've
this
ordered.
This is for the calendar year.
Okay.
Right here, yeah, so.
Okay. And how's it going there at Ames this year? I mean, we put in, you know, we worked it pretty hard last year, so is it slowing down?
It's doing about the same as it usually does. Yeah, we're running about a half a CFS. We could go up to one. We're a little bit limited on the amount that we can put down there a month. High Desert Water District wanted to keep it at 25 acre feet a month, so.
And also, it's encouraging to hear that Caltrans is working with us to do it right. So,
yeah, I mean, we've had times where we're seeing them put up signs and everything, and they're not even, they didn't USA or anything. And it's like, hey. But, I mean, recently, we jammed them up pretty good a while back, and so they've been pretty diligent to let us know when they're getting close to us. It's pretty obvious. We've got our markers out there and everything, so they should know that there's something in the area.
Yeah, it's just so much easier to avoid stuff than to find it the hard way and then have to deal with that, regardless of who's at fault.
Yeah, the way the pipeline is, I mean, they whack that pipeline. It's their job is done. They're, you know, it's going to take us hours to get that thing shut down and drained and everything. It's
especially
a nightmare.
Well, I certainly appreciate the update, Doug. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I got a question. At the Ames and Retchie recharge, you're just going to continue to feed it water until you reach the 300?
We're probably not going to be able to make the 300 with the limitations that we have, but we'll get it as close as we can possibly do. And especially now that it's summertime, we'll shut the recharge down during the weekend just because the locals, they like to, I mean, it's dang hot and it's a nice, cool place to hang
locals,
out, but unfortunately, they do a lot of damage when they're over there. They'll run their ATVs and stuff like that through the.
Now, when you shut it down, do you tear it up to get a little?
No, we just shut it down just to kind of keep the attractive nuisance out of there, you know, and just and then we'll fire it back up as soon as the week, you know, like on Monday.
Because it is referred to Landers Lake by locals.
Oh.
So you're on the right path.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, no, we've extracted a few boats out of there already and everything, you know.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have.
I haven't seen any tourist ads yet for Landers Lake.
Lake.
Probably not far behind.
We're not camping out yet.
Okay, good report. Thank you, Doug. Anything else on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item 7, public comment. Do we have anybody want to make public comment? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item 8, commissioner comments. Care to make a comment?
I don't have any comments, thank you.
Okay. Tom?
Well, I heard a rumor.
Uh-oh.
So since the commission's all here today, I thought it might be a good time to make a comment about the future of the commission. And while that may still be kind of mulling around in the background, I thought I'd maybe just throw it out there. I'm not super thrilled about an idea that dissolves this commission. I'll just lay that out there. One compromise for us might be, is I know there's a lot of competition for the Mojave staff time. And we want to be conscious of that. And we also want this commission to have a purpose and meaning. And part of that purpose and meaning, I think, is to keep us together as partners in the Morongo Basin. Because I think if we fracture out and we dissolve the commission, we may lose that continuity, and maybe everything's copacetic today, but we just don't know what could happen in the future, and it would be hard to bring it back together. I thought of a couple of compromises. I know one of the real touchy issues is that the commission tied to the pipeline agreement is really mandated to be a Brown Act body. And so in the spirit of maybe thinking about that, we could hold pipeline commissions here at this facility, maybe prior to TAC meetings, to help the staff here coordinate, schedule. I haven't talked to a lot of staff at Mojave about this. Many of us come to TAC. However, the drawback is we may not attract any of our residents all the way here to Apple Valley. So maybe another alternative is to just have one location for commission, so we're not rotating places, and maybe we talk more about selecting that, and maybe we don't need to meet as many times a year. We meet maybe a couple times a year and more often if needed. But I just want to lay it out there that I'm a little concerned about the idea, and this is just me, as a director of Mojave and a commissioner here. There's a lot of commissions out in the world, right? Like the county has many, and they're made up of elected officials, and I think that's okay. This one is a little mixed. We have staff, one staff, and it's always been a staff member from county, but it's always been elected officials. And I just think it provides us an opportunity to do that business and be stewards of the pipeline into the future. So I just leave it there. I think there's stuff coming down the line, and I think we should just be open about what we want to do. It's been a little herky-jerky for a couple of years, I think probably since COVID, huh? And that's when we kind of lost that ability to regularly meet. We lost our kind of our momentum and our synchronicity. And we also completed a lot of our tasks on the first original MOU. But I don't think that means we should just disappear.
A lot, but not all.
A lot, but not all. There's one final one on there. Yeah, we're going to probably will resurrect itself somewhere. So with that, I'll open it up to other commissioners. Input.
Okay. Yeah, at this point, I have no questions. And I'm with Marina on continuing the commission, just so we have a voice and a collective sense from all the agencies. Seems important to me to be ahead of what's coming down the pike, and this is a good way of doing it.
Well, since this isn't, yes.
One thing. Here on this agenda, we have this annual Ames Ricci report, and then we have this Morongo Basin Pipeline update. Are these reports that are done anyway, and you're simply reporting them here, or are these reports that are created specifically for this commission?
They're reports that are made for this commission, but they are used in other reports.
Yeah, that addresses partly the staff time issue. If they're simply spending a half an hour with us here, reporting information that they've already generated, maybe that's not so much. What concerns me is when everybody has to drive out to Yucca Valley or Joshua Tree to have one of these meetings. I think that's doing a lot, I think, for staff here to drive all the way out there. That's an impact, I think. It kind of takes up a whole day, I think.
Thanks. I think because of Brown Act issues and several people already speaking on this topic, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment more on that topic, but perhaps we could see it come forward if there is some issue in terms of how often the commission would want to meet in the future and where it would want to meet. And perhaps we can have a look at that as a future agenda item. Speaking of future agenda items, let's move on to item 9, which is future agenda item requests. Do we have any?
Where are we headed? What's the next step? there's some, I think there's something coming forward.
I would hope so. I would rather assume so, and it makes appropriate good sense to me to request that for a future agenda item. Anything else on a future agenda item request? Okay. We'll move on to item 10, then adjournment. Thank you all for coming.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.